Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is my co-host, Jane Fawcett. How are you, Jane?
I'm good, Christian. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Jane?
Christian?
Let's just get the cat out of the bag, all right?
Uh-oh.
The music this week.
Oh, man.
Jane's not the biggest fan of.
Christian, I feel like we have this conversation a lot.
It's funny.
It is funny, and it is fitting for this episode because we have
a guy named Kip Strawbridge coming on the show.
Strawbridge,
who does some animation for our Kids Connection ministry. He'll tell us kind of what his role is in Kids Connection.
Kids Co.
But thinking about animation and cartoons, I was thinking back to the 90s and what were some cartoons I watched. So we're playing some theme music from cartoons.
Perfect.
Just so the audience doesn't freak out. It was my choice. Jane did not do this.
Yeah, I will never let you guys down.
Now, the other thing I want to discuss is our old co-host was in Fresno.
She was. Sarah Wells was in Fresno for the weekend.
She didn't want to stop by the Spoutcast.
Hey,
huh?
It just shows where you fall in her life of importance.
I didn't even get a text.
She saw Lacey.
Didn't even get a text.
Lacey got to see her.
Yeah. Where's my text, Sarah? Just a simple, hey, in town. Hope you're doing well. I'm doing great out there. It's great. Nothing.
Well, she is doing very well.
That's what I hear.
She is killing it at CBU and loving it, making really good friends. And
not listening to the Spoutcast.
No, she's not listening to the Spoutcast.
Doesn't have time for that.
Not sure she's got time for that. But I will say I'm super happy she's doing well. But yeah. At the same time, there's this little piece in my heart that's kind of upset about it because I want her to move back.
You still miss her, huh?
I miss her a ton. Yep.
I'm sorry, Jane.
Fresno's just not the same without Sarah Wells.
My friend just got a job at Taylor, who I think you've met before. He just got a job as their intramural like coordinator.
Cool.
And so he says, he's like, I see Sarah all the time now, and it seems like she's doing great out there.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, I know you're not listening, but maybe you'll just tune in because you miss Fresno, or you miss us a little bit, and we miss you here at the Spoutcast.
Yeah, we totally do.
We got a good episode, like we mentioned, Kip Strawbridge, but we're also going to discuss this week's sermon on James. And if you were at church on Sunday, Shay Sumlin taught for the first time since he's been on his 2-year sabbatical, we'll call it that.
He taught at Fig in the morning and North in the evening.
That's correct.
And Jared, midweek.
Yeah, and midweek. And Jared taught at Clovis and Southeast, and PJ taught here at the North in the AM. So we'll discuss a little bit about Acts and James in regards to the Generation series. Then at the very end, we'll close out the show, and we'll, once again, you guys will all write in who nobody writes in and say, hey, you should do something else at the end of the show. But I like the weird endings that we always have.
You know who I miss?
Who do you miss?
Sam Hart.
Yeah, where is Sam Hart? Where's
that
shirt?
Dude, he was pulling out of the parking lot as I was pulling in.
Man, our intro outro
guy.
If you see him on Sunday, say, hey, miss you at the intro outro segment.
Yeah, he just adds a flavor to the spout.
Well, enjoy or try to enjoy some cartoon theme music, and we'll be back with our sermon discussion on James.
Understood the nature of the gospel and how God saved us unconditionally, it would begin to manifest itself in the way that we treat others. That's why at the end of chapter 2, James hammers the main theme of this book. Look there in verse 14, verse 17. James says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith? You make all these claims about what it is you believe, but yet but yet you have no works to back it up. Can that faith, is that really faith? Is that really faith? Can that faith save him? And he says in verse 17, so also faith by itself, if there's no works to show for it, it's dead. It's a dead faith. And this is the C note of James. The idea that your faith isn't just a cognitive belief. It's also an effective action. And so there should be something. The fruit should be indicative of the root. And James is going to hammer this and hammer it and hammer it over and over again. Every time is a call for us to go inspect what it is we truly believe and are embracing about the gospel.
That was a clip from this past week's sermon on really the book of James. What we're doing here in the Generation series is walking through the missionary journeys throughout the tail end of the book of Acts. And so kind of where these letters fall into the book of Acts, we're kind of placing them in. So next week we'll touch on Galatians, the following week, First and Second Corinthians, I think First and Second Thessalonians is around there too. So this week specifically is focused on James, and basically, as Shay mentioned there in the intro, it's just focusing on this concept of it's not just about faith. I think it, as James says, faith without works is dead. There is more to the Christian life. There is more to the gospel than just simply saying, yeah, I believe, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And Shay mentioned at the end of his sermon, just that danger that you can get into of just becoming a very works-based Christian, where if you just do a bunch of really good things, well, then you're going to get into heaven or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that's what... Shay focused on, and what Jared focused on a little bit, and what PJ focused on as well, just that concept of the book of James as a whole. Mm-hmm. And what Shay did really well, and first and foremost, if this is your first time hearing Shay at the Well, he's a great teacher. I really mm-hmm. like Shay. I think him and PJ are very different stylistically.
Totally different.
But one of the things that I appreciate about Shay is he's very passionate in how he teaches, mm-hmm. and you can even hear that in the clip.
Yeah.
And so Shay and I were in a teaching team meeting and just was saying, he's like, man, at the 7 o'clock service, I just got like fired up.
That's awesome.
Cause he's the kind of guy that I think wears his teaching on his sleeve a little bit. PJ is a pretty, I would feel like I'm a little bit more like PJ, just pretty even keeled mm-hmm. teachers. I don't know. PJ does lower his voice quite a bit.
He gets pretty soft.
He
and
gets
I feel
soft,
like when he wants to hit a point home, he more
gets a little more serious.
Yeah, he gets really sensitive.
Gets his John voice on.
Yeah.
Not his PJ voice
no.
on.
And Shay definitely, I've even just having him one morning in residency, like he just fires it off and just the passion comes out. And I love that. I love seeing that.
Yeah, I think what Shay was trying to do and what he was passionate about was just really making sure you get this concept of the first or the five chapters of James. And so he walked through each of the five chapters and floated that theme at the end of kind of tying it all through. And one of the things you kind of see is just right in the beginning, we hear about this trials of various mm-hmm. kinds and how you persevere through that. And then, you know, Shay mentioned he actually had this really great example of if you've ever read through the book of James, probably one of the most famously quoted things is you're going to face trials of many kinds, but you got to persevere through mm-hmm. it. And it's just this, you're trying to trust God, but also like what you know about life and what you know about the world is like really tough. And mm-hmm. he gave this example of just his daughter jumping into the pool and the difference between moms and dads, where his dads are 8 feet away and the moms are right up against the shore.
Yeah.
And the daughter in her mind is going, I trust my dad. I trust my dad. I know that he's going to take care of me in mm-hmm. this trial. I know that he's going to take care of me in this moment. But I also know what the world, what the pool has done to me in the past.
Yeah, that I could drown. And how's he going to get to me fast enough? And like those things.
Yeah, and so it's this, I think sometimes double-minded thinking. But in the end, God is asking us to trust him in our trials mm-hmm. and persevere through those. And then that kind of led into the next four chapters of this concept of being both hearers and doers mm-hmm. of the word mm-hmm. and really, yes, having faith, but also living out your faith by works.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, Jane. You and I both lead high school life groups, but one of the most common, I think, misconceptions or things that our students are taught unintentionally is that the more good that they do, the better Christian that they are. Mm-hmm. Do you experience that? Or
yeah, absolutely. I think students and even
adults
yeah. think that God's love is conditional. And if they mess up, then God's going to love them less. Or if they mess up, then then they can't be a Christian.
Sure. Yeah. So kind of what I was maybe trying to get at a little bit, and what Shay's point was in the sermon as well, is that that is a common misconception of Christianity. Totally. And what James is really trying to point out in his book is that there has to be some form of getting off the couch and
absolutely.
Being a Christian.
Yeah.
There's got to be some form of works in this world. There's mm-hmm. got to be this concept of living out your faith.
Yeah.
And I think it's so hard to communicate that sometimes with a high school or a junior high or even an adult, like you mentioned, of mm-hmm. just going, yes, it's about faith. Yes, mm-hmm. it's about grace. Yes, it's about love. But on the other hand, your life should reflect that.
Well, because the gospel should change us. It should motivate us to live boldly for Christ.
Right.
And maybe this ties in, maybe it doesn't. But I know there's this quote of it says, preach the gospel daily when you need to use words or yeah. whatever. Mm-hmm. So that our lives should be a picture of Christ in everything right. that we do. And it's this weird give and take of there's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. Mm-hmm. So it is not by what we do that saves us. It's only by Jesus's blood. But
sure.
on the other side of it is that we should see that picture of someone gave their life for us, not because we're good, not because we deserve it, just because he loves us.
Right.
And that should be what motivates us to love people, to share the gospel with people, to serve people, to live intentionally for Christ, to honor him and glorify him and show our gratitude in that sense. And it's not because we have to earn it or anything. It's just because we should be motivated by what Christ has done for us.
Sure.
Living out our faith in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, when this became really just evident when Shay was walking through, I think it's chapter 3 in regards to the tongue
mm-hmm.
and just talking about this concept of our tongue is just a really powerful tool.
So powerful.
And there's this scripture in James, and I'll butcher it a little bit, but it's we can't worship God one day and then the mm-hmm. next day curse somebody we
know.
Yeah,
with the same mouth comes yeah. cursing.
Yeah, and both yeah, blessing. And
right.
so you can't have salt water and fresh water come
right.
from the same stream.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the truth in that is so often we as Christians, we on a Sunday just worship and love God. I'm like, man, slap each other high fives. It was, church was awesome. It was so good. And we act this really great life on a Sunday. And mm-hmm. we act a lot like, I think, what Christ wants us to look like on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next day, whether it be for students in school, for adults at work, mm-hmm. How we treat our spouses, how we treat our kids. It's mm-hmm. Our tongue just lights a fire.
For sure.
And it can be one of the most dangerous things. And it's just 24 hours earlier, we were just mm-hmm. worshiping God. And
yeah.
I fall victim to that as well. I'm mm-hmm. I'm a huge, I think I do that. I can mouth off sometimes.
Yeah.
And even Ben, who we interviewed last week today, was like, you're just very direct.
Yeah.
But I realize that is sometimes good, but it sometimes mm-hmm. Can be a curse too.
Yeah. And I think, a couple weeks ago when we went over in life group with WSM, reminders of what life group is, that it's
sure.
a safe place, that
sure.
it's, we're careful with what we say or whatever, just that encouragement. And something that I have to remind myself of all the time is don't gossip about people,
yeah.
And I see in myself that I'll say something about somebody else of oh gosh, did you see so-and-so or whatever
yeah.
or anything that it's because I'm insecure about something and I want to look better to the person that I'm talking to. So I'm making somebody else look bad so that I can feel better about myself. And just that, there's no reason for that. Like, I shouldn't care what people think about me. I should care about only what the Lord thinks about me and identify myself that way. But how, gossip is such a big part of our vocabulary and how we can turn it from like, oh gosh, I'm going to tell you this so you can pray for this person or bless their heart, blah, 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 and go mouth off about somebody. But
yeah. And what I don't want people to get is all that is good stuff. Like not being a gossiper and right. not, you know, using your words wisely or whatever that may be. I think the hope is what I'm saying, what I'm talking about, is this godly?
Totally.
James talks about just this concept of slow to speak. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Be quick to listen. Mm-hmm. And is how I'm acting godly? Am I being a doer? Am I doing this, whatever it is in my life, based on what I've heard in the Bible, based on what I've read in the Bible, is my life really look that much different? Mm-hmm. And I think that theme really plays itself out throughout the book of James, where we're just thinking, I've read this, I've thought about this, I've heard this in church multiple times, mm-hmm. but does my life look any different? I think if everyone were to introspectively look at themselves, I think the answer 8 out of 10 times is going to be no. Mm-hmm. Just because of culture, the world, and all that that's around us. But I think if we were to just step outside, and one of the questions I've been wrestling with is just, if I was on my deathbed or whatever, you know, the concept of what would I be known for?
Yeah.
And I think some days when I wake up, I think, I don't want to be known as, well, he was a good Christian. He mm-hmm. went to church on Sunday. He was a good guy. Mm-hmm. But I want to be known for somebody that just, man, that person just lived like Jesus, mm-hmm. loved like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there was just no doubt in my mind that he understood that he was saved by grace. Mm-hmm. And it's by faith alone. But also, man, that guy did a lot of works for the kingdom. And he did a lot of things that Jesus would have done. And I think Jesus is that example of just somebody who is... I think someone who got it, obviously, because he's Jesus, mm-hmm. but he lived out the perfect example of kind of what we need to strive to be. We're never going to mm-hmm. be perfect.
Right.
We're always going to gossip at some point on accident. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it's recognizing the tendencies we have. Mm-hmm. I usually gossip in this moment. How can I change that? How can I live differently? How can I be more mm-hmm. like Christ in those moments?
And it's all in how we... Because to do something, I think about that a lot, of being slow to speak, slow to become angry. Sure. And I can be a very like reactionary person. If like something sets me off, or if I don't agree, like I'll say, like I'll shoot off real quick, no, or whatever. But to remember that I am to live in by being controlled by the Spirit and slowing down and thinking through what we say or what we do or how we act, or if we are direct, like how we say things or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I don't think being direct is a bad thing.
No, it's just sometimes I'm quick to say things.
Yeah.
So I need to maybe stew on what I'm going to say before I say it.
Yeah. Which is a good thing. And I've had to learn that too.
Exactly.
Because then we don't regret it later.
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to this sermon this past week on James, it's really good just to think about, how are you living like Jesus? How are you being a doer of God's word, really? And just looking through that theme throughout, and we'll continue on in our generation series. But good stuff to think about this week. Up next, we'll interview Kip Strawbridge and enjoy some more animation theme songs. Do we are back and we are here with Kip Strawbridge. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is Kip short for something or?
Kip is short for Kip.
That's about Yeah. Oh, perfect. Have you been asked that question before?
Lots and lots of times.
Okay. So I bet it's like when people come up to me and they say the like, I'm sorry, I'm Muslim or whatever, because my name's Christian. Right, so right. I apologize for being that guy that asked
that's okay,
you that.
That's okay. That's why I have a pad answer for that question. All right.
That's a good answer. I feel like, are you a puns guy?
My wife really likes puns. Oh, I think they're punny.
He's a puns
He's
guy.
He's a puns guy.
Yeah.
So married. Kind of tell us about your family. We'll get to the well stuff in here in a second. But Kip,
all right.
Tell us your life.
Yes, I am married. I have a wife.
That'd be good.
That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
I have three children. I have an oldest daughter who is in third grade.
Okay.
Her birthday's in a couple weeks. And my son, middle son, my daughter's name is Kai. My wife's name is Michael, just like David's wife in the Bible.
Okay.
And then my son, Kale, he is 6 years old. And then we have a little boy named Gray who is 17 months this month.
Gray
like the color.
Okay. Yeah. You had
with an E.
You had Kai and Kale. Are those both K's?
They are K's.
And your Kip, I thought your next
It wasn't
son,
intentional.
Okay,
no, it wasn't intentional.
With the K.
Yeah, they all have different meanings.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So what, Kip, for those of people that are listening who don't necessarily know you, who haven't met you, you are new to not necessarily the well per se, but new to Fresno.
Yes.
And what is kind of your role here at the well?
My role is a member on the Kids Connection team.
Kids Co. Sorry.
Yes. Kids Connection, short to Kids Co. Yeah, I'm a member on that team. My primary role is creative director and curriculum.
Okay. So. And what does that entail?
It entails... on the creative side, making everything more creative,
okay,
better in creative ways, but also a large part of it, just the curriculum that we produce for Kids Co. So that'll be my primary role.
So like, what's your main project that you're working on right now?
Yeah. Right now, we're actually just developing the curriculum as we just started following the state of the church. I'm making videos. That's what I spend the majority of my day at this point. To facilitate the teaching time of the kids' curriculum. So
if you don't have a kids and kid in Kids Co, essentially how you guys have broken up your curriculum is in sets of two almost. Would you say it like that, or like you've got fifth and sixth, and then third and fourth, and then however you. So you're developing 2 years worth of curriculum per each grade.
Yes.
But once those kids move on past that, then you kind of restart that curriculum, correct?
Not necessarily. They graduate. It's like 10 years of curriculum if you want to look at it that way.
Right. So I'm in third grade, I'm not going to...
You're going to see a new track of the similar base, what we call the bottom line.
Sure.
So as a third, fourth grader, you're going to get the same core teaching, but you'll get two tracks as you go through third and fourth. But then as you move from fourth into fifth and sixth, the 5-16, you would then be in a whole new focus, a new bottom line.
PJ has been telling me a little bit about what you guys are doing in curriculum stuff, and I think it's awesome. Now, outside of the well, we'll maybe get back to your job and kind of some of the things you do specifically. But prior to the well, you and Jane have a small connection. What is your guys' connection?
Jane, you want to describe it in your way?
Describe our connection. Yeah. Kip and I both worked at Hume together. So this is the second week in a row we've had a camping guy on.
That's right.
Yeah. Kip ran Wagon Train.
Mm-hmm. What is Wagon Train?
Also known as Wagon Master Shep.
Uh-oh, you just let the cat out of the bag.
Is that your camp?
Thousands of children across the world just cried right now. So.
Children don't really listen to that. We have a parent.
You guys
advisory.
Have camp names?
Their parents now know. Yeah, my camp name up there was Shep.
Okay. And, do you never reveal the camp name even
you
after
don't
the week?
Reveal your camp name.
Or your real name, I mean.
Yeah, your real name. Your camp name is your name. If you reveal it, you have to be purified because it's considered a sin. And we throw you in the pond. And then you get out and you dry off and you're purified.
So yeah. what is, sorry, say that again, Wagon Train, for those who don't know Hume Lake Ministry, or what is Wagon Train? What kind of did you do up there?
Wagon Train is Hume's kids ministry. So I'm kind of going from camping to church ministry.
Sure.
But in the same vein, up there we do summer camps, and Wagon Train is the camp for third, fourth, and fifth graders.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they stay in wagons?
They live in wagons. They run around camp. They have fun. It's sure. kind of a Western themed camp, but
sure.
It's not 100% Western.
And why Shep? What did Shep, like Shep? I'm trying to think of what Shep is.
Yeah, everyone thinks they're clever, and then they're like, oh, Shep, for like shepherd. I get it, because you shepherd children, which It is short for shepherd.
Oh, it is?
Which is short for German shepherd, which is my favorite dog.
Okay.
So there's not a big, deep spiritual meaning to it like you would think. That's just my favorite dog.
Did you have a camp name?
No, I never worked in kids.
Oh, so it's just the fifth and, or the third,
just
fourth,
the
and
Wagon
fifth.
Train, yeah.
Yeah.
Or day camp.
Day camp does it too. They do have camp names, mm-hmm. but they aren't as particular as we are.
The camp I worked at had like camp names as well. And I don't know how it is at Wagon Train, but it was like, I mean, the kids all week would spend, like, they wanted to find out
oh,
your
yeah.
real name.
Oh, yeah.
Is
it's
that
huge.
The case there? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I still have high school students coming up to me asking me what my real name is years later. And then I tell them, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. And they get disappointed.
Well, now that you're out of the Hume Lake Mountain, do you feel like you can let that cat out of the bag?
I think Jane just did.
Okay.
So I think, I mean, now this is official. It's like, it'll be published. Which
what
makes
if one
it
of
like,
our students published. Knows you and goes, hey, aren't you that guy? And you'll go, yeah.
Yeah. I can say it now because I technically am not on Wagon Train staff anymore.
Sure.
So I'm kind of released of that contract.
Yeah. That's funny.
You didn't sign it in blood.
I didn't sign it in blood, but I've signed it for 14 years consecutively.
Wow.
They
but
really
I,
sign a contract
I,
that you
oh,
want.
Oh, yes. We have a signed contract. I could quote it to you, but I won't. I'll spare you.
Hey, thank yeah. you. Now, are your roles at Hume, or were your roles at Hume, are they similar to what you're doing here now at the Well? Or
in different ways, yeah. There's a overall, obviously, the kids can, you know, part is the same. There, I was considered a camp director. I was overseeing the creative direction and the flow of just what we presented as a program, I guess,
sure.
would be the word we'd use here, where curriculum is probably, yeah. So I guess in essence, I was a program director,
yeah.
you know, and here I'm a children's director. So yeah, kind of a one for one in a
sure.
weird way.
Yeah. I know PJ, like I did not know you, but when PJ was saying that this guy keeps coming down, he seemed really excited, and mm-hmm. and I've seen some of the stuff you guys have done, Wagon Train, and what was that thing they did last year that your big theme for last year
was the
Hume Lake Road Show.
It was a road show, but
oh, you mean the theme?
What was your theme for
last year's yeah. high school and
no,
junior
no,
high?
No, no, for Wagon Train.
For Wagon Train, our theme was different than everyone else's.
Yeah, what
so
was
you,
it?
You saw ours?
I'm trying to think of...
Oh, ours was... I can't remember. It was... Hold on. They all jumbled together. I'm thinking of the year before.
Our Kids Connection, like they did this little show here where you guys came out and talked about it to promote kids to go to Wagon Train. And there were signs right. all over
oh,
the
place. Oh, the Storyteller.
The Storyteller yes. Chronicles.
Storyteller
that's it.
Chronicles.
Yeah, yeah. That was super
yes.
cool. So,
yes.
And so that was kind of you, right?
Yes. The
okay.
Storyteller.
Now here at the Well.
We're just letting all cats out of the bag.
Oh. Yes, I'm also the storyteller.
Oh boy.
So yeah.
You heard it here first.
That's
now,
right.
if you are, so your role here at the Well, what specifically, I know you do some cartoon stuff. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a kid in Kids Connection, which I don't know yeah. if very many kids listen to the Spoutcast, but
which
maybe
they should.
They
and
should.
Now maybe they will.
Well, their parents probably listen.
Yeah.
What would they see on a Sunday? Like if I'm, let's say I'm a third grader mm-hmm. and I'm coming into Kids Co, what would I expect? What should I be looking forward to?
One of the big things that we've changed is we've gone away from kind of a Sunday school teacher mentality
yeah.
more to the way the Well does it as a whole with life groups and large groups. And so
yeah.
as a third grader, you're going to get a large group experience with the other third and fourth graders. And then a focus time of a life group where you break out and kind of get to know each other and spend time with a lesson. And there's lots of different things that the lesson uncovers. It's different than a traditional Sunday school, I guess, that
sure.
you would see.
And you have cartoons somewhere in there?
Yeah, but the large group time, that involves kind of an introduction, worship time, and then that's where we have what we call the WOW, which right now is the cartoon.
The WOW, W-O-W?
We call it the WOW. It's kind of a behind-the-scenes term.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's they wouldn't say, now it's the WOW time. They wouldn't know that. But we call it the WOW. So right now, yeah, we're making a series of cartoons for our WOW, which kind of introduces the idea to the kids, gets them thinking about what we want them to think about.
And who's this? Is there a main character throughout all of them?
There's a couple. We have two different series right now. Yeah. One for the little guys called Max and Sissy, and PJ is the voice of Max.
Max, yeah.
And our admin, Danielle, is the voice of Sissy. And, and then we have another series called Parking Lot, and Park is our own Parker.
Right.
And Lot is myself.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then there's various cast members who we draw from.
Yeah.
And, I think you yourself have actually been in one.
Yeah, I was in one of them, and it was like, I remember doing it. It was a really small part. I was like, Bill. Yeah.
You were the cartoon version of Bill Gates.
Right, and a kid this week, or a high school kid who was volunteering in one of the classrooms was like, hey, I saw you in a video this morning. And I'm thinking,
that's awesome.
What'd you watch? You know? And
which one?
Yeah, you were Bill Gates. And I'm like, Bill Gates? It didn't register in my brain
I did that. Couldn't tell your voice.
But that's cool. So that's why for this episode, we're playing theme songs of cartoons, because you're kind of the cartoon guy now at the Well. Unfortunately, you've been kind of, I don't know what the correct terminology is, but you've been now duped as the guy who does cartoons. Yeah, pigeonholed, because someone at our office got their computer stolen, and then you created this animation about it.
Right.
And now everyone knows you as the guy that created the cartoon.
Right.
Now, Kip, you've been on staff for, I guess, like 2 weeks now, right?
Yeah, they're about.
And you had to take part in the Well staff belly flop competition.
Yes, I did.
How was that for you?
It was good. Yeah. It wasn't too far out of my comfort zone. Pretty familiar with belly flops.
Sure.
And things of that nature. I got second place.
Kip should have got first.
Now, we'll rewind a little bit.
If I were a judge, I think I might have at least been considered better for
there
first.
There is a judge standard at Hume, a point standard.
Yeah.
And they started off a little too high.
So there's, at Camp Hammer is the same. The camp that I worked at with belly flops is very it is not about the performance that you do before. It's not about it's not even necessarily about you. You had some fake tattoos, which was great and super funny. But I think it's all in the flop.
Right.
And if your flop's not good, I mean, we would give people like threes and fours.
Yeah.
You know?
Which you should.
And we would take the sevens and flip them to an L, but then they'd get mad at us. So
the standard was set before that it was hype, it was pain and commitment, those things. It wasn't, you know, production quality.
There was a creativity. So
there was creativity.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think you can be creative in your flop.
Sure.
This is true.
There's
which I feel I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did.
You were great. Your flop was great. Now the person who won, they just had a really good pre-flop.
And yes,
their flop,
they did.
I'd give their flop a 7.
Right.
But I'd give their pre-flop, you know, a 10.
Right.
Whereas your pre-flop was about a 9.
Yeah, eight or nine. I don't even know if it's a 9.
Your flop was a solid 10, but you know, you had the scores up. You just didn't make it there, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
It was rough.
That's okay.
I got robbed in my belly flop competition as well.
Okay.
At least you weren't Jared Gilbert, who went right after Pete.
Oh, yeah, that was brutal. That was really brutal. Did anybody at Hume Lake ever do... I don't know how flimsy your guys' diving boards were. I've always been in there in the winter, but some guys would get really high, and then they would kind of do like a salmon fish in the air, and then they would like flatten out and then belly flop, and it was always the greatest belly flop to see, because they're kind of like flopping in the air. Like, I know this isn't a visual podcast, but like a salmon swimming upstream, and then all of a sudden their body would shift just like as soon as they got to that peak height. They'd lift their legs up and then smack.
Yeah. You need to go up one summer on a Tuesday and watch the Meadow Ranch Pond Comp, because they do it off of Noah's Nightmare. So it's a rope swing.
Yeah.
So you get up in the air and then let go and flop.
Dang.
It's awesome.
It's pretty intense.
You know, it was, I speak for myself, but I feel like I'm speaking a little bit for the Well as a whole.
Yeah.
You're, you you come across as an introvert. Are you not an introvert?
What would make you say I come across as an introvert, Christian?
Well, I think that up until you did that belly flop,
uh-huh.
I think everyone kind of thought, okay, Kip's guy works for kids on his computer, quiet guy. But now that you've come to the Welly Deli a couple times, you did the belly flop. I'm like, you're not necessarily an introvert.
No.
I think you're just I like to get my work done, moving on.
Yeah. I would say I'm a selective introvert.
Okay.
Extrovert.
Selective extrovert. Yeah, okay.
That would be. I'm not running on all eight cylinders 24/7.
Not Jared Rumley going around half fighting everybody.
Yeah, that's not me.
All right. So. do you see yourself that way? Just as an introvert or?
No, I'm not. I don't think I'm introverted. I'm okay being by myself.
Yeah.
And you know, but I like people and like being around people and getting to know people. And so, yeah.
I think
the difference is I like also, real relationships. And so that kind of limits me from being superficial. And so sometimes rather than being superficial, I just tend to be quiet.
What is that like terminology where it's like you got a million friends wide, but like one inch deep or whatever?
You're more
of the...
A mile wide and an inch deep.
Yeah, you're more of the...
I'm more of a mile deep and an inch wide. Yeah,
yeah, okay, gotcha. Yeah,
that would be a better description.
Because when you took your shirt off and all these fake tattoos and did your flop. I guess what I was expecting was a camp guy to do a belly flop. And you kind of walked up there a little Eeyore-ish.
Uh-huh.
And then once you kind of like got in the zone, it was like, oh, that is Kip. Yeah. But I don't know if that's the real Kip or if the guy.
Oh, everything you see is real.
All right.
Right, Jane? What do you say?
Yeah, this is Kip.
So like what you guys work together at Hume Lake in what context?
I was Kip's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the guys that I did administrative work for.
Yeah.
So I was the assistant for all the camp directors and then a few others. But
did you enjoy working for Kip?
Yeah.
What were some classic Kip stories? What were some classic Shep stories? Is there anyone's out there? Is there a classic story that defines you at camp?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't know. Kip's always... I mean, you didn't really spend a ton of time in the ranch house in the summer because you were
at
wagon train all the time. He drove a quad that had like some sort of fur on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was actually a three wheeler covered in fur.
Yeah.
And I have another one that has
is that
bull
going
horns.
With the Golden Shepherd thing?
No, that was a bear. And then we had another one we called the bull. So we name everything at wagon train.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a truck
called
Wild Bill. A three-wheeler named Bull, another three-wheeler named Squirrel. So.
What is the what's the mechanical bull's name?
El Diablo.
El Diablo, yeah. They bring that up to SD and it's like, oh, El Diablo's here tonight.
Yeah. I used to run El Diablo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kip also made El Diablo into a magical unicorn.
Yes.
When
and dressed
we
like
went
a wizard.
To U Specialties.
So the first time I rode El Diablo was at U Specialties conference on the unicorn.
I was the wizard running
there.
Where was that? Was that in San Diego at the
time? No, it was in Sacramento.
LA.
Sacramento.
Or Sacramento.
Yeah.
Yes, it was in Sacramento.
I was there. I was a fairy.
Yeah, so I didn't know much about Hume Lake at the time because Sacramento kids, I guess maybe some Sacramento kids go to Hume Lake. But just where I grew up, I had never heard of Hume Lake. So I walk in and I see this like magical like... like
and then every 30 minutes our song came on, we had to do a dance.
I remember all of this.
And we had bubbles.
Didn't we have bubble
machines there?
There were bubble machines. There was a
there were mustaches.
That's funny that you guys say that because that was my
tail.
First exposure
there was,
to humor.
Cotton candy.
There was cotton candy.
Yeah, there was a cotton candy machine.
Yeah,
we were making cotton candy.
I got that.
And I was dressed like a wizard. Yeah. I looked like Gandalf.
Dude, that was totally in Sacramento because I remember that whole conference vividly.
Yeah,
and never hearing about Hume like walking in and going, "What is this camp?"
Yeah.
And just like cotton candy over here, and then.
And then you rode the mechanical bull.
I think you guys named it El Diablo then. I just don't remember the name.
Yeah, it wasn't El Diablo there. It was El Diablo in winter camp.
When
yeah,
it was
okay.
Black. Yeah.
So we painted it back to El Diablo.
But sometimes you see a little bit of the
oh yeah, when the white paint rubs off, you can still see the unicorn below and the rainbow on yep. the on the rear haunch.
That's funny, dude. Well, hey, I'm looking forward to you being on staff. I'm glad. I know it's probably a big transition for you.
Oh yeah.
How many years? You said 14.
14 at Wagon Train. I was at Hume for almost 16.
Okay, you getting used to Fresno a little bit?
Not yet. Okay. Looking forward to moving down and getting settled. My family's still up at Hume.
Oh, they are.
My kids are. At school up there, and so until our home is ready down here.
So are you living up there right now?
I'm commuting back and forth, so I'm up there about 4 or 5 days a week. I'm down here 2 or 3 a week. So
man, yeah. It's brutal.
So yeah, a couple months, about a month and a half left of that, and then we'll be down here and settled. Looking forward to getting the family connected to the well.
You're coming to the Fresno in a good time, you know, in a month yeah, and a half. So that'd be a good adjusting off. Period.
Yeah, that's good weather yeah. then.
Man, I did not know that. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, it's tricky. That's for
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Man, hopefully they get down here. Yeah, I was just thinking, I don't know if I've met your wife yet or yeah, your
she
kids.
She hasn't been down here much yet.
Sorry, have your kids been involved in Kids Connection yet or not really?
Kids no. Co, you mean?
Kids Co. Oof.
No, they haven't. They've come. No, I don't think they've been at all. I've shown them the videos.
Sure,
that's
yeah,
about
yeah.
it.
You showed them parking lot?
Yeah, I've shown them parking lot and Max and Sissy.
Cool, dude. Well, that's exciting, man. Glad you're here, and thanks for coming on Spoutcast. And
anytime.
I am really excited for what Kids Co. is doing and just kind of the future of Kids Co. I think if you weren't at State of the Church, just there's a lot of exciting things, and Kip is really one of the brains behind it. So it's you, Kip, Parker, Kelly, and Danielle. Kind of that's the team, right?
And PJ, yeah.
Did I say PJ?
You
no.
said Kip
you
instead
said
of PJ.
You, Kip, Parker, Kelly,
oh, yeah.
Danielle.
Well, I just forget. PJ's kind of a forgettable guy. Yeah, so
that's okay.
You know, PJ, he really likes to be on the show.
Yeah.
But technically, he's been on the show about 4.5 times, uh-huh. but we're trying to not get him on a fifth time
okay.
just because we don't want to give him the golden jacket.
Right,
maybe we'll
right.
get you on 5 times, just really yeah, infuriate yeah, yeah. him.
Okay.
We'll get you in the 5-timers club before PJ.
Okay,
we
good.
Should find a student that does not know your real name and get him in here.
And then I'll tell him.
And we'll do this like real, like serious moment where you go, I have to tell you my real name.
Okay. Sure.
Because I'm sure that we have students in our junior high group that last year went to
oh, yeah.
Wagon Train. So.
Oh yeah,
I won't let the cat out of the bag. We'll say you gotta listen to Spoutcast. Give us some cross promotion.
Exactly.
All right, Kip. Up next, we're gonna close out the show. We got some more cartoon music, and then we'll close it out.
Wind, water, hot, go planet.
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take. Down to zero. He's our powers magnified, and he's fighting on the planet side. Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. Gonna help him put asunder bad guys who like to loot and plunder.
You'll pay for this, Captain Planet.
We're the Planeteers. You can be one too, 'cause saving our planet is the thing to do. Looting and polluting is not the way. Hear what Captain Planet has to say.
The power is yours.
All right, we're back. Thanks for sticking with us through that animation break. We love it when Christian
hey, I bet,
plays some
I bet
music.
There's some nostalgic people out there that are,
oh,
they
sure.
were looking forward to the every new song that popped up. Now, Janie, who listens to the Spoutcast, who's on staff at the well, I don't know if she was anticipating the next song coming, but maybe. Maybe she's a big fan of 90s animation cartoons.
Maybe she is. I don't know. Janie has really good taste in music.
She
so.
Does. She really does. This is super random, but there's this book that just came out. All about Nickelodeon and what's it called when you oh it's called Slimed.
Oh, I loved that show.
Okay, so basically this book is all about Nickelodeon in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I'm really fascinated to read it because it talks about all these shows that I grew up loving and uh-huh. watching and the behind the scenes of it.
What was that one where it was like it was an obstacle course and at one point you had to like run through all this like gunk and find certain things. Oh, you had to find those like flags.
Guts? Was it Guts?
I don't remember.
I think it may have been Guts.
And you ran through a tongue? Yeah, yeah. It totally was Guts.
I'm pretty sure it was Guts. Yeah.
Oh, that was so gross.
Super good.
I would never do that.
So gross. Well, we don't have a ton for you guys here at the end, but...
I mean, I got some stuff again.
Jane, toss it out there.
So we talked about this a little last week. We have Discovery coming up Saturday, September 21st from 8:30 to 1. You can sign up online. We'll feed you breakfast and lunch. Mm-hmm. And if you ever want to see Brad at his punchiest, man, it is Discovery.
What is punchiest?
He just gets like really passionate and really goofy and like really raw. Yeah. I love it. I love Brad at Discovery. It's awesome. Also we announced this yesterday at church, Sunday at church, LeadCon 13 is coming up September 28th. So it's just an opportunity. We're going to have, Brad's going to be the keynote speaker. We'll have worship. We're going to have breakout sessions about different ministries, different things within ministry.
Yep.
It's going to be really cool. So, come to that. It is here at our North Campus, September 28th.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what time it is, so you'll have to look at that on the website.
I think you want to be here at 8 o'clock. There'll be breakfast at 8.
And then it's until like 1 o'clock.
Yeah, there'll be lunch served and it'll go till 1. I'm one of the breakout speakers.
Yeah?
It's going to be a bad one, so I wouldn't
I hear you're kind of like the host of it. Is that true?
I would say there's a host specifically.
Okay.
I would merely just say like I'm the intro guy.
Got it.
Just doing a little like upbeat fun thing and then we'll kick into
worship.
Nice,
like an icebreaker.
Like an icebreaker.
Cool. Yeah.
We got some fun stuff. I would say the icebreaker revolves around a lot of well humor.
Good.
So if you've been around the well for the while, we'll make fun of ourselves a lot in that moment.
What's your breakout going to be?
My breakout is on this book and this curriculum that I've been actually taking some of the WSM parents through called You Lost Me, just doing an overview with all the leaders and just how we're approaching ministry and how we lead people in a culture and a generation that is kind of anti-church and anti, not necessarily God, but just the things of God and the things of church, and just how do we bridge that gap? How do we lead with people outside of the church so that's their feeling on the church? So talking about just You Lost Me and these people that are just lost in their faith right now. And it's an age gap between like 18 to age 30, and it's a pretty big age gap. But there's a lot of people that are, there's like research done last year about it all. And so it's just fascinating stuff. That's what I'm talking on. And then I'll also be doing that little game in the front, which will be fun.
Nice.
Have you ever heard of Cell Phone Shootout?
I don't know.
Well, we'll have to wait for LeadCon 13 then.
All right. Well, I'll wait for it.
Anything else, Jane?
I don't think so.
This is The Spout.
And we're out. Teenage Mutant.